boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. God's perfect power and weakness. Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we do lift this time up to you tonight. It is a privilege, Lord, to open your word and to read your word, Lord. I just pray for the presence of your Spirit, not only on me, Lord, but on everybody, Lord. Give us everyone discerning ears and give me a discerning heart. I pray this in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On February 17th at about 2:45 in the morning, I was having an incredible pain in my back. And this pain in my back was powerful enough that the dream I was having at the time, it was pulling me out of the dream. I was starting to wake up. There's nothing really that unusual about me having a pain in my back, because when I sleep too long in one position, I get a pain in my back. And this pain was growing stronger and stronger, and I started to wake up in that state of half dreaming, half awake, kind of moving more toward awake. The difference here is that in my dream part of this yet, I heard a voice. That pain is Jesus. That pain is Jesus. That pain is Jesus. That's what I heard clearly as I was waking up from this dream because of the pain in my back. That pain is Jesus. That pain is Jesus? What is this? So I get up, like I do, and I go downstairs and I walk around, and as I walk around, the pain starts leaving my back. But I'm going, okay, Lord, what is this? What do you mean the pain is Jesus? It doesn't make any sense. Well, guys, it's a dream. It's not supposed to make sense, right? It's a dream. But I'm going, Lord, why would I even think that or dream that? Why would that even be there? And it was kind of like God and the power of the Spirit was kind of laughing with me, going like, yeah, that was pretty weird. But if you give me a chance, maybe I can work with that. And in the hour or so that followed, most of what I'm going to share with you tonight came to me that morning, and I had enough common sense to write it down anyhow. So that's what I want to share with you tonight. If you would turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 22. I thought I had that marked, and I didn't. Luke 22. I did have it marked. Okay, Luke chapter 22, and I'm going to be reading from verses 42 to 44. Verse 42, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. I want you to think about this for a moment. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he is in such anguish, his sweat was like blood falling to the ground. Have you ever had something coming up that you had to face that this was not going to be good? Maybe it was a surgery. Maybe it was somebody you had to face in life. You got to confront somebody on something. You have knots in your stomach. You're in anguish. Whatever that is, multiply by 100,000. And this is Jesus in the garden before they were going to come and take him to the cross. Have you ever seen Jesus weaker in his entire ministry than this moment? Jesus broken in anguish, sweating blood because of what was about to come on him. Yet in the middle of Jesus, in his weakest moment that we can recall, comes perhaps the strongest teaching in all of Christendom. Father, not my will, but yours. God's perfect power in weakness. The weakness of the cross, the power of the cross. They beat Jesus. They spit on him. They whipped him. They scourged him. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. They hated him. And they rejected him. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, 3-4, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. This is the state in which Jesus went to the cross, broken, beaten, his weakness on display before the entire world, both man and God. He was broken and weak. This is how he was lifted up on the cross. He was lifted up in a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Now, Paul referenced this in Galatians 3:13. But you got to understand something. This curse that was on Jesus didn't come from man. It'd be bad enough if such a curse came from man. But Paul referenced Deuteronomy. And he quoted this out of Deuteronomy, which reads in Deuteronomy 21:22-23. If a man is guilty of a capital offense, he is put to death and his body is hung on a tree, you must not leave his body on the tree overnight. Be sure to bury him that same day, because anyone who is hung on a tree is under God's curse. Under God's curse. Jesus was cursed by God that day as he hung on the cross. He was cursed by God for us. The curse that Jesus was under, make no mistake about it, it came from God himself. And through the weakness of Christ on the cross, the power of Christ on the cross was unleashed against the power of sin and death, and the curse that is on us is broken forever. God's perfect power in weakness. Last October, we got news that my mom had lung cancer. And that news kind of hit the whole family. It hit the family hard. But I want to tell you what amazed me through this whole ordeal since October till now was my mom. She had absolutely no fear in her death. Absolutely none whatsoever. From the moment she was told she had cancer, my mom had zero fear whatsoever about dying. It was absolutely astounding. To the point where we're like, do you really comprehend what's going on? These nurse teams, while we were still in the hospital, after they deliver the news, they would come back in and they would say, repeat back to me, Dolores, what you heard. Because they wanted to make sure she understood what was going on. My mom goes, I'm dying. That was her response. I'm dying. And my mom was taken home, and she lived with my sister, Linda. And on February 9th, we were getting closer to the end. We didn't know how close, but things were moving along. But it was her birthday, and everybody was at the house. Everybody was at Linda's house. I'm sorry, it was February 7th. Kim's going, no, it wasn't. It was February 7th. We were at the house. That's my mom's birthday. And she was a little irritable that night. She was talkative, and she was conversing with everybody, but I could tell something was really bothering her. And Laura, I hope you don't mind me sharing this, because I thought it was funny. But Laura, we were all in the room, and Laura had her camera out and got Mom on the video, said, go ahead, Mom, give us some words of wisdom. Well, my mom doesn't like cameras being put in her face, never has. And she just looked at Laura and said, I'm dying. So my mom had this attitude toward what was happening, but I could tell that she was a little bit irritated as to something, and I didn't know what. So later on in the evening, everybody started to leave. Everybody left the room, and I went back in there alone. I sat down in a chair, and I said, what's up, lady? And she looked at me. She said, Jeff, I'm on this road. You know that, right? I said, yeah, Mom, I know it. She said, Jeff, I'm dying. I said, yeah, Mom, I know. And we talked about that a little bit. But I'll tell you, there was no fear in her voice. There was just love, and there was peace, and there was contentment. When my mother was born, she was given the name Dolores. And a lot of my grandma's friends were going, why would you do that to your daughter? I never heard of this before. But evidently, the name Dolores had a connotation to it back in that time when she was born. The name Dolores meant you were to suffer. And my mom, when she found out she had cancer, she said, well, it looks like I'm finally going to get to live up to my namesake. Kind of matter-of-factly. That's how she was approaching everything. And we were preparing myself because my mom had lung disease and now she had lung cancer. And everybody told us, the end is not going to be pretty. It's going to be a horrible, horrible, miserable end for your mother. She's going to suffer because of this lung disease. Eventually, she's going to suffocate. That never happened. I'm telling you, it never happened at all. God's mercy on my mother was beyond comprehension. She had no suffering in her death. She would be on oxygen, and on the day she died, a little bit of morphine to help her breathe a little bit, but she never labored. And even toward the end, I asked that she be taken off the morphine because we couldn't talk to her anymore. And even though we took her off the morphine, she never went back into pain to the very end. The weakness of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross was my mom's strength and the power of God in her death. My mother taught her son how to die. This is how it's done, son. No fear. We are not given a spirit of fear. We are given a spirit of power. And the spirit of power comes from a cross that Jesus Christ died on. He was risen from the dead, and we now have a new life in Christ. We need not fear. What shall we fear? We don't have to fear death. And you know what? We don't have to fear life either. We don't have to fear life. What are you afraid of? What's going to come into your life that your God is not going to handle for you? Name it. I'd like to hear it. I'll tell you what my mom's answer is. Whatever God's going to do, God's going to do. And she was okay with it. My mom passed away on February 9th. 2 days later, it was Sunday. That was a Friday she passed. And on Sunday, kind of numb to the world, as everybody is when something like that happens, I'm at home. It's about a little after 6. And Kim goes, don't you have jail ministry tonight? I'm going, oh, I got jail ministry tonight. And I'm like, I got nothing. Absolutely nothing. What am I going to? And I'm thinking, well, what did Bruce even preach? I couldn't remember what Bruce preached on that morning. Just nothing. But I remembered the week before he preached on something that I thought was really something that would be worth remembering. And I even thought at the time, I should do this in jail. But I couldn't remember what it was. And I didn't remember the scriptures he worked off of. So I got in the car, grabbed my Bible. I'm ready to leave to go to jail. And I texted Bruce, hey, what were the scriptures that you used not today but last Sunday? And then I just started driving, and I got to the jail. I'm sitting in the parking lot, and he had responded back, and he said, these are the scriptures. And I opened my Bible and go, oh, yeah, that's what it was. And it kind of started coming back to me. So then I texted Bruce back. I said, thanks. He said, pray for me. I'm going into jail. I'm a little spent. Pray for me. Like about 2 seconds later, I get a text back from Bruce. Good. only God tonight. But he said, I will pray for the fullness of the Spirit. And I'm thinking, this is typical Bruce. Just typical Bruce. But I knew what he's talking about. Because when there's nothing left but God, only good things can come out of it, right? And I just tell you, in that night, in that jail cell, God was incredibly strong. Incredibly strong. It was amazing. Be still, my soul, when dearest friends depart, and all is darkened by a veil of tears. Then shalt thou better know his love, his heart, who soothes thy sorrows and thy fears. Be still, my soul, thy Jesus doth repay from all his fullness, all he takes away. It's in our brokenness and it's in our weakness is when God moves unbelievably strong. But you know what? It's just not in the trials and in the sorrows of life when we are to be broken and that God is to move strong. We need to look inward. I need to look inward into my own heart. I need to look at whatever sin that I'm hanging on that's so grieving my God, grieving his Spirit. And I need to pray, Lord, give me a broken and a contrite heart. And give me this, Lord, because I'll tell you this, in life and in death and in sickness and in health and in poverty and in prosperity, my sinful heart accompanies me all the time. It never leaves me. It doesn't matter what the circumstances of my life are. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Would you pray with me? Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit that sustaineth. Amen.